Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Friday, the 11th of September. My name's Nick here in Melbourne. Now, touching on what we mentioned yesterday and is in the news a lot this week is that the AstraZeneca vaccine trial has been put on hold due to a potential adverse event, they call it. Now, it has significant impacts on financial markets with, you know, impacting prices around the world. Now, this is obviously important that we sort of follow this and see what the potential implications are. So I thought I'd go into a bit of detail with the implications on a sort of scenario-based level. So looking at the actual problem, it appears to be, according to Jefferies, an investment bank, that it's a case of transverse myelitis, which is an inflammatory syndrome that affects the spinal cord. Now, it is a significant sort of condition. It's in about 1 in 250,000 people in the US, and it's appropriate that the trial has been put on hold because of this adverse event. They do point out that vaccines that use the same vector, this uses a chimpanzee adenovirus vector, have been used in the US military for over 60 years with an almost what they call enviable track record, with safety data set amassed from immunizing all these troops. But it doesn't mean that just because the vectors find that the actual full vaccine itself isn't. So looking at the actual vaccine, the AZD1222, it is, you know, immunogenic. They found in the first two parts, the first two phases of the trial, with antibody responses in 95% of people. And that was at the, by the peaking at the 28-day level after immunizing. Now, there were no adverse reactions or anything reported in the first two phases of the trials. There also was significant effector T cell responses measured as well with this vaccine. So it sort of ticks most of the boxes in that regard. Now, looking at the sort of further implications, Barclays mentioned that in terms of the number of people in this trial, so in the US, this vaccine has now been administered to over 15,000 volunteers, many more else in other countries in the world as well. And they mentioned that some of the other vaccines that are being in the, that are in stage three already, like the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, they've been administered to over 45,000 in the US, and they both use the same spike protein approach to attacking the virus. So they say that if it's something to do with the spike protein, it seems odd that it would be related, this adverse event would be related, just because of the huge numbers of people that have been, you know, immunized with a vaccine that, that attacks the spike protein. So that, yeah, they say it's unlikely it will be that, which means it's unlikely to impact these other vaccines under trial. Now, there's a really good analysis on by SVB Leerink, which is a specialist healthcare investment bank, which has a really detailed research department. So they sort of point out that there could be four possible sort of scenarios that come out from this event, and some of them could sink all the potential vaccines. So that's a worst case scenario. Scenario one is that they will just find that it's got nothing to do with the vaccine at all, and this person had a genetic predisposition or something like that. So that one's sort of an easy one. Scenario two is they think the transverse myelitis is limited to the particular AstraZeneca vaccine or the vector. And if it turns out that it is platform or vector related, the AstraZeneca program will likely to be terminated, and other products with a similar foundation, such as the Johnson & Johnson and the CanSino vaccines, both use these adenovirus vectors. They will probably be under increased scrutiny and potentially terminated as well. So then it gets worse. So scenario three is that the homology between the SARS-CoV-2, as in the actual virus epitope, and the component related to the myelin sheath is, you know, similar. So, you know, looking at that, there could be something at a molecular level showing that they both look the same potentially. Now, this could have, you know, serious implications. So that would mean it's sort of, this vaccine is inducing an immune response that is homologous to a component related to the myelin sheath, which causes inadvertent direct autoimmunity mediated damage. So basically what that's saying is it's teaching, the vaccine's teaching your immune system to attack both the coronavirus, but because the myelin sheath looks the same, it's getting attacked as well. So not good, and obviously that would have a big impact. Now the worst one is scenario four, that the transverse myelitis is related to collateral damage from the immune system attack of the virus. In this scenario, vaccine-mediated immune responses attack the virus, and the inflammatory response causes collateral indirect damage to the whole immune system. This would have broad implications for many vaccine programs. So an interesting sort of breakdown there of the different potential outcomes, and some aren't very good, and you know, it's understandable that the market has moved a lot on this news flow. Touching on a topic we mentioned a few weeks ago, and that is the decline of Hong Kong as a financial center and the rise or potential for Australia to take its place. So the government has appointed a panel of experts, including the CEO of JP Morgan Australia, board members from Afterpay, and it's headed by a former Macquarie banker who led the bank's operation in Asia, Andrew Lowe. And Andrew Lowe mentions he's previously been a bit skeptical of past attempts to make Sydney compete against Hong Kong and Singapore due to the significantly large tax differences. As I mentioned previously, that up until recently, if you were managing money for a client offshore, but you doing the execution and trading here in Australia, you would be, that client's money would be subjected to Australian taxes on profits made. And that, you know, even if that client never stepped foot in Australia, he'd still be paying taxes. So that's been addressed, and that was part of a recommendation in the Rudd government's 2009 report called Australia as a Financial Centre. And that made more than 20 tax, regulatory and human capital recommendations on what to do to make Australia an attractive financial hub. So most of these have been implemented, and this including this addressing the tax issue. Andrew Lowe mentions that he sees Hong Kong will continue to be a large financial centre, but it will increasingly become a China-centric one with more domestic Chinese corporates based out of Hong Kong. But this is certainly a good opportunity for Australia to really sort of position ourselves and capture a lot of that market. We do have a favourable time zone, stable democracy, all the things that big global corporations would be looking for. And a quick update on the markets. The Australian dollar continues to rebound, now at just over 73 US cents. We're seeing the recovery in tech names continue this morning in the US, with the NASDAQ up over 1%, the S&P up about 0.5%. So that's your update for Friday. Have a great end to the week. See you later.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.